Good to see you this morning. It's an honor to share God's word with you. A few months ago, you may remember, it's okay if you didn't, but I spoke on our Lord Jesus kind of in an unusual light. The famous story of him with a whip going around and whooping people. And you know, you can have that, the truth of that story, by the way, for only $4.99 in the back. You know, just let you know. But now I want to draw a light on something different, but something truly incredible about our Lord. It's something that we know about him, and it's sometimes we admire about our Lord, but it's something that we can often take for granted, and we certainly don't make it a priority to emulate in our own lives. There's a lot of thoughts and preconceived notions and cultural idioms that we carry throughout our lives, and they're cute, but quite frankly, they're just flat out wrong. We repeat them to others. We believe them because it's just something we've heard all our lives, but in fact, nothing could be farther from the truth. And I think one of the most critical examples of this is what we believe about our words. How many of you have heard the phrase, talk is cheap? Have you heard that? Yeah. I like this one. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Have you ever said that before? Have you heard that? I've heard it. And I've said it, but just because it's something that's said doesn't make it true. The reality today is the exact opposite, that words do matter. Words are power. Words are manifestations of the heart. The divine word of God spoke all of creation into existence, and in a moment, man bent their ear to the deceitful words of a serpent, and it defiled that same creation. Words build up, and they destroy. Words are wonderful, they are terrifying, and they are always unforgettable. And you can do a lot of things that can bless or curse a person, but it is your words that will stick with them forever. It's kind of like going on a date. You can do a lot of things to mess up a date. You could show up late, you forget to take a shower, decide, you know what, I'm not going to take the car, I'm going to take the scooter, that'll be fun. She'll love that, it's raining. Maybe not pick the best restaurant, and on it goes. You can definitely sour the date. But nothing compares to what you say on a date. Things like, oh, is that what you're wearing? Or, hey, can we hurry up and get this over with? I got a thing later. Or, man, you are just like your mom. That's crazy. Or the ultimate date killer. Hey, is your sister here? They'll never forget your words. Never. And the reason we know that our words matter is because God says so in his word. The scriptures has a lot to say on this one subject. So here's the question. If our words matter, then who should be our example? Of course, there is none better than our Lord himself. What did the Bible say about his words? How did Christ choose to speak with the people around him? We see in today's text that after the reading the scriptures, much like what we just did, he sat down and he began to speak to his people. Look at verse 22. It says in verse 22, "And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son?" It says they wondered. They marveled. They were astonished merely at his words. Why? There are three things that I want us to see about our Lord's words. And I firmly believe that if we understand these things, it would change our lives, and people would marvel at that as well. The first thing we see about Jesus and his words is, number one, his words were sincere. They were sincere. Look at verse 16 again with me. "And he," that's Jesus, "came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up," where he grew up. "And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." Notice it says in verse 17, it says he found the place. You know, he didn't do one of these, all right? This is called the Lester Roll. Lester Roll, if you used to take the Bible and go like this and go, all right, we're talking on Jehoshaphat. Let's go. He didn't do one of those. You know, I'll do that next time I preach, okay? It'll be very entertaining. But he didn't do that. It wasn't random. He deliberately chose this passage. He had a direct purpose and reason for it. Christ was not narcissistic. He didn't want to just hear himself talk. He always had a reason for using his words. I think the problem that we have, and the reason we carry these, you know, again, cute sayings around about our words, is because it's very difficult to know if someone is being sincere with their speech. It's like trying to decipher a text message. You ever had to do that, by the way? You get a text message and you're like, I don't understand a word they're saying. Or, I don't know if they're angry. I don't know if they're joking. I don't know if this is sarcasm. That's every text Rick sends me. You get a text and you spend like the next 3 weeks poring over every word, every emoji, trying to hire a team of psychologists to understand what the true meaning of NGL, you crazy, IMHOBRB, LUL. What does that mean? LUL is love you lots, by the way. That one's for free. At the end of a lot of my text messages, I use LOL. You know what that means. I do it all the time. And it drives Rick nuts. He hates it. He absolutely hates it. But what I'm trying to convey when I send LOL with everything is that I'm saying things in a lighthearted way. I'm not angry. I'm not being biting or sarcasm. I'm trying to show my sincerity through a text. By the way, don't do that. It doesn't work, okay? But you know, it drives Rick crazy, so I'm going to keep doing it myself. But don't do it. But that's why we say talk is cheap, because we really don't know the heart of somebody. But does that mean that words have no power? No, in fact, the opposite is true. The reason why we can be so cynical about the words of others is because they do matter. We have another saying. I think you've heard this one. Actions speak louder than words. But did you know that even that saying is not enough to perceive the true intentions of a person? Christ condemned many people about their words. He said in Mark chapter 7, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Ouch. Talk is cheap, right? Actions speak louder than words. But then Christ also revealed in Matthew chapter 7, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many marvelous works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So he condemns both words and actions. Neither are a guarantee. People can be doing the right things for the wrong reason. The same goes with words. The question always is sincerity. Listen, Christ said what he meant because he meant what he said. He was deliberate in his speech. He always had a purpose, always a genuine reason to speak out. It was never to ensnare or flatter or deceive or to gain an advantage. It was always to build up, to bless, to strengthen, to encourage and instruct, to do the will of his Father even with his words. The question for us today is if we are sincere when we speak to the people around us. If there is one thing that you should never say flippantly in church, and I've been guilty of this, are the words, I'm praying for you. You don't know why? Because people desperately need your prayers. And when we are telling people we will pray for them, it does no one any good if it's simply an empty sentiment. Sincerely, we need to pray for each other. And we need to mean it when we say it. When you ask the question, hey, how are you doing? Simplest question, probably the one we most repeat every day of our lives. How are you doing? Do we really mean it? Or do we want a canned answer so we can just go on with our day? Are we looking for someone to encourage, to bless, to lift up? Christ did. He had something to say to these people because he sincerely cared. We are cynical of the words of others for very good reason. You know, when Joe Biden or any politician looks at me in the screen and says, I care, I understand. You know, I just don't believe him. Do you? I just really don't believe a politician when he says, I care, I feel your pain. I don't think you do. I don't think you do. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way with us. We are children of God. And we are to emulate his son, Jesus Christ. And his words were always sincere. That's one of the reasons, by the way, why the people wondered. They marveled because they bore witness that Jesus cared for them. They knew the Pharisees didn't care. They knew that. The Pharisees don't care, the Roman government, the local scribes, none of them. But this man, this Son of God, did. Christ cared about what he was saying because he cared for them. Which leads us to the second lesson, which, by the way, is also very vital. We learn that Jesus' words are sincere, but now we see his words were, number two, sure. They were sure. Look at verse 20 again. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture filled in your ears. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. You know, it needs to be said that while sincerity is crucial, it is, it's not enough. It's not enough that Christ was sincere. His word was also sure. Truth must always precede and be the foundation of everything that comes out of our mouth, or nothing else matters. Sentiment, positivity, good intentions, and compassion must always be guided and instructed with the truth, or there is no value in those words. If you're giving directions to someone, and the directions for one place would be going on I-95, and there's terrible traffic, and they merge five lanes into one because it's South Florida. Mr. Rodden did the project. I'm just kidding. Love you, Mr. Rodden. And there's just all this terrible, terrible turmoil to get to this destination, but then there's another path, and it's pretty. Pass down Indiantown Road, there's no houses, no buildings, you just see palm trees and cocoa plums and blue skies, and at the end of the road, it takes you to the beautiful Jupiter Beach. Oh, what great directions. But the problem is, the guy would tell you, man, I was trying to get directions for the hospital, I'm dying. Now I'm going to die in the beach, thanks a lot. They're not good directions. Yeah, but it was nice, it was pleasant, it doesn't matter because it was the wrong directions. But I am concerned today, because it seems that many sincere Christians are comfortable that their words are not entirely sure. That some use the cause of evangelism or, you know, I want to be a light to water down certain passages or try and make excuses for things that God makes no apologies for. They bend over backwards to try and twist scripture to make it more digestible in today's society, or maybe not quote this because I might get a ban on a social media platform. Our words become untrustworthy, unlike our Lord's, ones that were always true and sure. You know, it would have done no good for the woman at the well if Christ's words were not sure, or Nicodemus, or Zacchaeus, or Peter, or the woman caught in adultery. Christ never made excuses for their sin. He condemned it, he named it. But he also paid for it. He also gives forgiveness for it. And he gives victory on it. With the truth of the gospel. An important thing to remember is part of the reason why Jesus chose to read this very text was to show that he himself, yes, was the Messiah. And he was qualified and commissioned by God himself. Verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. He was speaking with authenticity, yes, but now he was speaking with authority. Remember, it says in Matthew chapter 7, and it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The people of Nazareth knew of the Lord's reputation. In verse 14, it said there was a fame throughout the land. And now he was proving not just that he was popular, not that he was just sincere, but he also was proving that his words were true. You know why he did this? Why he went through these great lengths, which you'd see later, endangered his life? Why he went through all of this trouble to do all these things is because his words mattered, because the truth matters. The problem is, though people were filled with wonder, they would soon be filled with wrath. From marvel to murder, pretty quick, due to the truth of Christ's words, they wanted to throw him off a cliff. That's the ancient world's version of cancel culture, by the way. But why did this happen? Why? What did he do? Because no one actually wants the truth. They want to hear what pleases them. This is why you see the mania, the rage, the unbridled hatred in the news and on social media, because people do not want to hear sure words. Someone once said it this way, and maybe this will help. Social media is not about the truth. It's about telling a story. And it doesn't matter if that story is true or even if it's grounded in reality. All that matters is if the story is acceptable. And you can build your entire persona, even your career, on that one story as long as people accept it and people follow it. And the goal of anyone playing this little game is never to be it. It's like tag, but worse. Because when you're it for that day, your story becomes tainted. It becomes controversial. It becomes uncomfortable. You said the wrong thing. You associate with the wrong person. It's inconvenient truths coming out of your mouth. And then the cancel culture starts to come out. It's a very finely tuned system. To try and weed out any measure of truth that can penetrate people's lives. Because again, it's about telling a story that everyone wants to hear. It's not about the truth. And you ever notice, by the way, on Twitter, there's that little blue check mark by some people's names. It's that little blue mark. Some people live for that. It means verified. Okay, I'm quote. It means verified by them. And that blue check mark and a dollar is worth, well, a dollar. But people live to have that by their name because they think it means something. It means that their life, their story, and yes, their words matter. But it doesn't. Jesus Christ would not have a blue check mark today. He wouldn't. That or a Twitter campaign of Nazareth busybodies would like try to cancel him. Welcome to Nazareth, top of the hill, unless we throw you off it. That's Nazareth. But why? Because the words of Jesus Christ were sincere, yes, but they were also sure. And that's, by the way, what the world needs. For men and women to speak the truth in sincerity and love. Which leads to the final and possibly the greatest lesson. And if I can be honest with you this morning, the real reason for this message today. We witnessed that the words of Jesus were sincere and sure, yes. But finally we see, number three, Jesus' words were sweet. Look at verse 20. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture filled in your ears, scripture. And all bear him witness and wondered at the amazing words, the incredible words, the harsh words, the smart words. No, they all wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. I love that. The gracious words. You want to know the real reason why people wondered? It's because they were unaccustomed to the sweet, kind, and merciful words of the Savior. Look at the passage that Christ chose to read. It's a wonderful promise in Isaiah 61 about himself. It says in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Further down, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. Think about those words that they're hearing in their ears. Healing, deliverance, recovering, liberty. The Jews were not used to hearing such wonderful words of hope and restoration. You know what the Lord was saying? He was saying that salvation was promised to you a long time ago. And now it is here. I am here to save you. For hundreds of years, it was the harsh, unbending, uncompromising, and yes, unforgiving words of the law. But now come the sweet words of the Savior. Words such as, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What amazing, what gracious words. You know, the problem is today, many of us speak insincerity, and we love speaking the sure words of truth from God's word. But there's not really a priority to make sure our words are sweet, gracious, patient, considerate. Colossians says to always let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. See, the problem is we focus only on the salt part. It's like if you ordered a prime filet mignon wrapped in bacon, but when you get the plate, you can't even see the tiny little bite because it's buried under a mound of salt. We love the truth, but we ignore the fact that Christ was full of grace and truth. And what the people wondered at, what today the world stands in awe of, is a Christian whose words are sweet. You know, if you're nasty with your words, if you have a biting wit or a harsh disposition, there is nothing special about you. It's not being independent or being masculine or a woman who speaks her mind or I'm just strong-willed. It's simply this. You are like everyone else. No one would ever wonder at your words. The world today is full of people who only have venom and bitterness and hatred and envy and anger in their words. You see it all around you. Do we really want to emulate them? I've heard the excuse, "Well, Andy, that's just the way I am. I tell it like it is." Well, then let me tell you like it is. God says, "In you dwelleth no good thing." And if you're just being you, then that means there's nothing good about you. And the same goes for me. What is good about us, what is wonderful, what is life-changing is the fact that when we are saved, we are a new creature in Jesus Christ. The old Andy is supposed to die. And he's not supposed to just die, by the way. The old Andy is supposed to be silenced and replaced with a new name and a new nature and a new mouth, one that reflects the gracious and sweet spirit of our Lord. And I will tell you right now that there is no greater change that you can see in a person's life, no more profound evidence that the Spirit has taken hold of someone than what they choose to do with their words. People need your words of grace today. They need to know the mercy, the love, and the forgiveness that Christ offers. But if we as God's people can't even speak kindly to each other, how can we expect to be used for His glory? Ask yourself the simple question, are my words sweet? You can never hope to be like Jesus if this is not a priority. The people in Christ's days were desperate, lost, subjugated, lied to, hopeless situation until the Lord came down and he spoke words of mercy and grace and salvation. He died on the cross. He paid a debt of sin that he did not owe and he did not have to pay for, but he did on that cross for you and for me so that we could have our sins forgiven and that we could become a new person in Jesus Christ. Some of you have heard the sweet words of our Lord for a very long time. You've heard and you've wondered, but notice in this story, that there were many people who did not believe. How long will you delay? Though his words to you are sincere and sure, and yes, very sweet, one day they will stop. One day there will be a time where you can no longer accept Christ's very generous, gracious invitation for salvation, and it'll be too late. Do not delay. The scripture says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And to those of you this morning who have accepted these sweet words, I want to encourage you and myself to always consider the words that we speak. I don't always talk about my daughter when I preach. But when I do, I and my wife Sarah would tell you that our little Haley is the sweetest and most wonderful blessing that we could have ever received from the Lord. And our heart breaks often with the many challenges she endures with her very severe autism and other difficulties as well. But she is proof that love needs no words. We know that she loves us, and she knows that we love her. But it is not with words. My sweet Haley has never uttered a single word in the 5.5 years that she lived. And with all the exhausting doctor appointments and neurologists, therapy, literally sleepless nights, and the collective effort of man, they have come to the conclusion that it is most likely that Haley will never speak for as long as she lives. It's in the Lord's hands. But whether he commits a miracle here on earth, or the first times I hear the words, I love you, Daddy, are in heaven, I can tell you, as her father, that words matter. Words are a gift, and they should not be taken for granted. God has given you and I a voice. What are we going to do with it? I can tell you what Jesus did. His life here on earth was short, but he used his words always for the glory of God. The reason why we are here is to tell people about Jesus. And guess what? The greatest way to show him to the world is to be like Jesus. Let the world keep their vain, narcissistic, worthless mouths. We are called to be like our Lord. Sometimes after staff meeting on Tuesdays, Kevin Biso will come up to me and quote the scripture and say, "You have wearied me with your much speaking." Right back at you. People should not be weary of our words. They should wonder at the gracious words that we speak. Like Jesus, words that are sincere, words that are sure, and words that are sweet. And all God's people said, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that the testimony of your Son, Jesus Christ, is not something that we just stand in awe of or admire, but we are to be like, we are to emulate, we are to be more like your Son every single day of our lives. We are meant to decrease and for him to increase. Bless this invitation, we pray. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.